Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Lilydale Radio, featuring topics about spiritualism, mediumship, healing, spirituality, and the Lilydale Assembly, the world's largest center for the religion, philosophy, and science of spiritualism. This is Lilydale Radio.
Good morning. You are listening to Wednesdays with Willa, which is a Lilydale Radio show. I am your host, Willa White, and I'm a registered medium here in Lilydale. And so every Wednesday at 10 a.m. on my Facebook page, Willa White Medium, and also on blogtalkradio.com/LilydaleRadio, I do my radio show, and I typically have a special guest on, and we talk about different spiritual topics, usually relating to spiritualism, mediumship, faith, family, and more. And I like to highlight certain topics and have wonderful people on the show, and today we are very blessed to have join us Patricia Bell. Thanks for being here today, Patricia.
Oh, it's great to be here with you, Willa. As you well know, Lilydale is a very strong part of my heart, and that I truly enjoy the opportunities that we have to welcome people to Lilydale so that they can share in that kind of peace and healing and understanding, which is very prevalent on these grounds.
Absolutely. And for those of you who may not know Patricia Bell, she is a registered Lilydale medium, and she has done extensive work with our Children's Week. You know, she really organizes that thing, puts her heart and soul into that every summer. And you also do a lot with the Tibetan Buddhist monks. So when the years that they visit, you're frequently there in their space, kind of welcoming people and educating them and facilitating things with the monks. So I knew you'd be a great person to talk about today's topic, which is Tibetan Buddhism, ceremonies, and healing. And so,
well, that is absolutely true. We do welcome people to Lilydale, but I'd really like to explain that in Tibetan Buddhism, the one thing that His Holiness the Dalai Lama said was, it's not like we need more Buddhists, but we want to show people how to have a happy life. And so when the monks come to Lilydale, that's the intention. They bring here an opportunity to show us how to vibrate in a way that we can create for ourselves a happy life.
Yes.
And being part of the host committee is amazing, because here we are basically care and feeding for these monks who have such a joyful presence and peaceful.
Yeah.
You know, and you sit there and you say, oh, I want to be as peaceful as they are. And they don't complain. And they are so grateful.
Mm. Now, if anybody's wanting to know about the scheduling for this year, the Tibetan Buddhist monks are going to be here that first opening weekend of the Lilydale summer season. And they typically are here for a few days. And we're going to talk more in depth about some of the special events that they're going to be part of here in Lilydale. And certainly with Buddhism, you know, they do say that life is suffering. And so they're trying to find ways to help people not be in that awareness of suffering so deeply.
Well, you know, in the text, all right, and it was known that Buddha himself, his father, the king, had separated him from all suffering.
That's true, India.
In India.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the holy man had said to the king, your son is going to create something beyond your kingdom.
Yes.
And, of course, the father sort of basically said, no, I want to love and protect him and not let him see things like suffering and illness and death.
And many parents in modern times feel the same way.
Absolutely. And then we say to ourselves, why did my son do this, or why is my daughter going through this? And learning to have the compassion of that soul's experience is also a part of our tradition as well as the Buddhist tradition.
Well, I've said this on previous shows. I think that people do have experiences or the need of the experience of rigor in their lives, that most people will learn by that struggle. You know, it's not just theorizing. Many people have to put those theories into practice in their lives. And so through their suffering, they start to rise above that in so many ways. And you have to kind of see suffering and have that compassion, but also compassionate detachment. I feel that, Buddha, he really did reach that space of compassionate detachment.
Exactly. And for us who are not Buddha, we're looking at awareness.
Mm-hmm.
And especially from the place of compassion. I mean, you and I have watched the TV and the radio, and we have this compassion for those people in Hawaii that are going through the volcano.
Lava. Tele.
And Guatemala.
Oh, yes, Guatemala.
That's got another one going. And so it's interesting that it is working on us to look at our own, what is in our life.
Yes.
And say, I can rise above that.
I can rise above that.
And looking at the strength and the resilience of these people also show you that.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
absolutely.
Oh my gosh, you know, I have a dear friend who lost his entire house to the lava.
Right.
But yet, here's the key. He didn't lose love.
That's right. And I know, because I have friends in Hawaii as well, and they're really bonding together as a community.
Exactly.
To see themselves through this. So it's something that can happen on a widespread community level within people, that they have that the raising of consciousness that occurs. It's really beautiful.
Exactly. And you see, even with His Holiness the Dalai Lama being forced to leave his native country, to be forced to leave, you know, how Buddha could be, you know, yes, I'm leaving the comforts of my kingdom.
The security of that.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
To go out to the world.
Yeah, it really forced them to do that, didn't it?
It did. And for him to see the suffering, not only that went on there in Lhasa,
mm-hmm.
in Tibet, but also for them to see the suffering all over the world.
Yeah.
Now, when I was a citizen ambassador to Tibet, I was very blessed that I got to go to the Potala and I got to see the temple there.
Mm-hmm.
And how, what many people don't realize, that the temple in Lhasa has blonde-haired, blue-eyed Buddhas.
What?
Yes, I know.
They're not native.
It makes you question, doesn't it?
It does.
It makes you question. I mean, like that movie, 7 Years in Tibet.
Oh, yes, with Brad Pitt.
I know. And the assimilation between His Holiness in that movie,
mm-hmm.
with his blonde-haired Austrian
with that
man.
That character, yeah.
Yes, it was amazing. But it just goes back to the oneness.
Mm-hmm.
And how in Tibetan Buddhism, they don't talk about separations in regards to religion.
Mm-hmm.
And His Holiness has even written a book about that, about us all coming together. So anybody who comes to visit the Tibetan monks here in Lilydale, you're in for a treat, because it's not like you're outside of their realm of consciousness or caring,
mm-hmm.
or compassion.
There are a lot of prayers that are going outward.
Exactly.
To the world. And I just have to mention this. For those of you who are only listening on Lilydale Radio and can't see us on Facebook, I'm wearing red today, and Patricia is wearing the gold or saffron color, very representative of the Tibetan Buddhist monks, what
exactly.
they wear, and it was not planned.
Exactly.
So,
I didn't get the memo.
No, I was just looking at what we were wearing. I thought, this is really cool. Because Tibetan Buddhist monks, this is what you know, well, of course they're probably a bit more maroon colored, but they wear that color, and it's designating them as Tibetan Buddhist monks.
Right, and with the more gold color, you find that it's more prominent among the geishas and the rinpoches, and of course His Holiness.
Right.
Now, the geisha is a monk that has been chosen that is educated.
Okay.
So you would think that someone who is a geisha would be having a master's or a doctorate degree or something of that effect.
Okay.
And if we translated it.
Translated.
Where a rinpoche is a reincarnated master.
Yes. I've watched the documentaries about how they choose these. Well, and that's how they choose the Dalai Lama, too.
Exactly.
Through that reincarnation, and there's a whole process that they do this with.
And they use astrology.
They use astrology to do that.
Yes, because they use astrology, Tibetan astrology, which is very different than Western astrology or Vedic astrology, and they look at the time of death, and they can have an understanding of the potential of where the soul may incarnate.
So they kind of get a heads up on the map there.
They do, but they need that child to pass that test.
Sure,
to have knowledge, is this my bowl, is this, you know.
I mean, my possessions from before,
Exactly, and do I have that wisdom?
That inner knowing, that old soulness.
So we're really lucky this time because we have a geisha and a Rinpoche.
Oh, coming this year.
This season, In fact, I have to say to you, the geisha that is coming had come to Lilydale in 2008, and he was just a monk translator.
Oh.
And the love of some of the people here in Lilydale and came and had supported him in his educational life.
Oh.
And so now he's coming back, and here it is 10 years later. And he is so excited to see us as we are to see him to celebrate his advancement.
That is so neat.
And he just wants to share.
Because typically we get a whole new crop of Tibetan Buddhist monks every year.
Right.
And we get a whole new crop of them that come and do the events here. And so we, from year to year, we don't see the same faces.
Exactly. There's generally several different sets that go on tour that come here. And Richard Gere has sponsored this tour so, to help them to get to be with us.
Mm-hmm.
And they rotate them.
Right.
But these monks that come to the United States are specifically chosen.
They're specifically chosen to do these events.
And for their abilities to do the San Mandalas, to chant, and to be with foreigners.
Oh, to even because they don't know the language.
Some do and some don't. You'd be surprised.
Like last year, no one knew the language except the interpreter.
Right.
So, but they're okay with being with foreigners.
Well,
is that what you're saying? Or?
And last year, we had three geishas. But we didn't know, the only one that spoke was Geshe Loden because he was the translator as well.
Sure.
But we had two more there. What does that mean for us, Lilydale people visiting?
Right.
It means here we have these highly educated spiritual beings praying for us.
That's lovely.
Sending out a positive vibration so that our upliftment, that we can be able to realize our own personal happiness and so that we can walk a, you know, a good path.
Of enlightenment, for sure. I want to mention, because I forgot to do this earlier, if anyone wants to call in and talk about our topic today, the Tibetan Buddhism ceremonies and healing, if you've experienced this, or if you've come to Lilydale and you've taken part in the events here, with the Tibetan Buddhist monks, you can call in, or if you have questions about that. And the call-in number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And you're welcome to call in and take part in our conversation about that. We're not doing readings today or anything like that. We stay on topic. But I want to explain to them about the Sand Mandala, because that's a ceremony that extends over the 3 days that's coming.
Yes, and it can be longer.
Okay.
It depends what Sand Mandala they're doing. And Willa, we are having the Sand Mandala of the Medicine Buddha.
Ooh, and tell us what that means.
It means that the energy of healing is what they're praying for. And it's like every grain of sand. That's not just an art, piece of art, which it is. They are praying for the healings of everyone who comes to visit the Mandala, for everyone here in Lilydale, and for everyone that comes here with prayers for someone who needs healing.
Yeah, and so they set up in the room, and they have all these different colors of sand. They're bright colors. And then they've got these metal funnels.
Right.
And then they have a little metal, and they're ridged, and they have another little metal piece that they rub on it. And the little tiny grains of sand will come out, and they have to be so precise.
Can you imagine how much training it takes to do that?
Well, in different years, they have set up a side table where people can actually try it out. And I have done this. I know for the 125th anniversary of Lilydale, they had the swan, and it was really beautiful. And I tried on that one. Absolutely pitiful. We need a lot more practice. And then a few years ago, they had it set up, and my older son got a chance to try it.
Yeah,
he thought it was so neat. And,
well, you see, these monks have been doing it since they were children.
So they know how to do that. And then, so they're in that focus. You can see they're focused, and they're probably doing a lot of internal prayer during that time and putting the prayers into the sand design. And
yeah.
It's preset, like you said, for Medicine Buddha this year, right?
Exactly. A sort of sidebar story, there was a gentleman who came and was talking to one of the monks, and he was inquiring about his peacefulness and asked, what is it that you do during this time? And they said that they said this particular mantra, you know, to Tara, you know, as they were thinking this in their head and doing this. And so he took it upon himself, even though he does construction. And so when he is in working on somebody's house, he is saying prayers and mantras now.
Oh,
is that awesome?
I think that's great.
I mean,
great.
It's just sort of like, oh my gosh, come work on my house.
Well, when you do working meditations, you know, like even when you're washing dishes or if you are working, you can be saying prayers. It's embodied prayer. And it certainly is a very, very valid way to live and breathe and express that which is the highest and best. So I think it's a beautiful representation. Now, in my understanding of the Sen Mandala, the outer spaces are about the external.
Exactly.
That's the external mind or the external. And then as we go inward to the center of the art design, then that's the interior space within us, that almost like getting more and more to a focal point within ourselves. Is that correct?
Exactly.
Okay.
Absolutely. And what I think very interesting is, for me, I think some of the most beautiful pieces of the Sun Mandala are in the center. But they start from the center.
Yes, they have to. from a logistics standpoint.
Right. And they start from the center and work out.
It's kind of like a lotus blossom.
Yes,
opening
but
up.
It's very meaningful for you and I if we start from our center and work out. Then we take the beauty that's inside us and we are able to spread it out to all parts of the world, as well as our family and loved ones.
Beautifully
and
said.
People that we meet and get to share time with.
Absolutely. Now, with this whole thing, they spend all this time constructing it. They're busy little beavers making this in Mandela. And then on the closing ceremony, they get all their gear on, right? All their dresses, their special dress, and then they have the big like horns, right? Mm-hmm. I don't know all the official terms for these things, and the drums and whatnot. And typically they go right past my house.
Yes.
And it's so cool. Even if I'm in a reading with a client, I'll say, oh, the monks are going past. They're like, what, what? And I said, would you like to go see? And then we go out and see real quick, and they love it. But there's the idea of taking the sand to the water. Is that right?
Okay. First of all these ceremonies with the drums and the horns and everything
mm-hmm.
are specifically to uplift the vibration. It is part of the prayer.
Uh-huh. Well, music does.
Yes, absolutely.
Set the vibration resonance of this.
You know, the idea, it's part of the prayer, it's part of the upliftment, it's the part of the attunement of, like, there's the opening ceremony where you're going to have this. You're going to have it during the closing ceremony.
Yes.
But most of all, the idea is we open the San Mandela with the ceremony, asking the energy from the universe. It's like asking God to come into the prayers of this San Mandela for all the people who are in attendance, who come to view, to share this beautiful, beautiful event.
Yes.
And then the closing ceremony, the doors sort of, they don't really close, but we basically are allowing it to let the physicality of that San Mandela
mm-hmm.
be known to people about the sense of impermanence.
Yes, permanence and impermanence.
Right, because many of us get very stuck.
Concrete.
Yes. We don't go with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
We don't accept change. And we want everything to be this permanent fixture. But spiritual growth's not permanent.
You have to have some order. But then
That's right. It's
some
order. But the idea that we can allow the impermanence to let our souls grow and elevate ourselves to higher level. I mean, I know myself that I have learned this lesson of impermanence very well through the passing of my son.
Yes.
But
I'm just thinking that.
But knowing that the connectedness is there. And isn't that what we do here in
Absolutely.
Lilydale? I mean, it's people come here to know that even though our physicality may be impermanent, the connection is timeless.
Absolutely, absolutely.
It's timeless.
The soul is eternal,
mm-hmm.
and a lot of the what goes on is just the drama of life, right? It's the drama of life is the way I explain this to people is kind of like a play that's unfolding. You have different characters in the play, and it's really fascinating because the whole universe revolves around you.
And some people like it revolving around them more than others.
Yes, yes. And we all have interconnected orbs of the universe, right? We're
exactly.
all our own little universe. And then sometimes we have collisions. Sometimes we have gentle merges.
Exactly.
On life and reaction.
Exactly. The other thing I think that it teaches us is about emotional intelligence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because His Holiness constantly talks about anger, how angry he could be that he lost his country, how angry he could be about, or angry, how I personally could, and it is a stage of grief, to be angry that you lose someone you love.
Yeah.
But when you understand that anger doesn't necessarily get you closer to them or closer to your own personal spiritual evolution, you begin to honor the anger in a way that it's an impetus for you to take yourself to a higher level.
It can be a catalyst.
Exactly.
You know, a lot of people don't start to examine the usefulness of their soul until they experience mortality, usually of someone that they love, the death of passing.
Yes, but also when we have a birth of someone we love.
Yes.
That opens
true.
Us up, you know.
It's a beautiful thing when that happens.
It is. And, you know, it makes us, our vibration shift. And particularly as mothers. You know, we know that those wee ones will open us up in ways. Oh, yes, I'm going to learn patience. I'm going to learn, you know.
But there's awe and wonder
exactly.
And discovery and such an amazing embrace of the moment. The power of now is very present with children.
Exactly. And the idea that even the San Mandela has opened itself up to us so that we can embrace that power of now and say, okay, I'm going to take that breath. I'm going to open myself up to, let's say, this medicine Buddha, which is going to be a prayer for healing. And I'm going to heal myself physically, mentally, spiritually. I'm going to ask for healing of my family, my friends, my country, for any of the healings that we know. And medically, we have found out that by doing the emotional, spiritual healing, the physical healing dovetails.
It does dovetail. And, you know, I wanted to mention because I found a really cool documentary that the Dalai Lama is actually in. And I got this from the library.
Oh, nice.
And it's called On Life and Enlightenment, and it has 5 episodes in it. And in this, the 5th episode is The Medicine Buddha.
Oh, wow.
And it says, Intimate Secrets of Healing from Tibetan Medicine with His Holiness, the Dalai Lama, because he uses Tibetan medicine. And so Tibetan shamanism really blends with Buddhism. When it comes to Tibetan Buddhism, that's what I've noticed. It's very much their own version. Yes, they you know, believe in the tenets of Buddhism, but then they also really embrace the idea of spirit communication and of healing, and they have trance. They go into deep trance. They experience physical phenomena that occurs, and then they also use that in their healing, and they have eternal masters that assist them in that healing, which is kind of interesting. It's almost like spirit guides for that aspect, but also people that use them in that way. So I was really fascinated. So if anybody is interested in looking that up, maybe you have it at your library, who knows, or you can get it online. But it was really fascinating because they show you different dances, the sacred dances, and shamanistic.
Well, you know, here we are as mediums in Lilydale.
Yes.
And that in Tibetan Buddhism, they have oracles.
Yes, they do. The oracle is specifically, there's one for the Dalai Lama. He puts like a 50-pound weighted headdress on, and he goes into deep trance, and you would think that would break his neck.
Well, it's that very much out-of-the-body thing, which a lot of people don't realize that, and they come to us as mediums, is that there is this physical energy going on inside of us.
Very much so.
And that we have to really be centered and balanced in a very physical way to be able to give our best to people who we serve. And hear the oracle for His Holiness. Ah, you get a glimpse of it if you get to go to a Kala Chakra ceremony, which I was blessed to do. His Holiness brought the Kala Chakra to Washington, D.C., when President Obama was in office, and we were at the Verizon Center with 18,000 people, which is considered a small group. Because when he does
18,000 people.
Yes, 18,000. Because in India, when they do the Kala Chakra, there's close to 100,000.
Ah, okay.
Now, if there's ever an opportunity that you can do the Kala Chakra in, I'm saying, the Western world, go for it. I mean, I'm not going to go to India because 100,000 people and no facilities and no room space and
that's
stuff
a crush.
Is a little bit difficult for us Westerners.
Yeah.
But if it comes again to the Western world, this is one of your knock your socks off kind of things. And you look at it, and you see how much of spirit is entering into this ceremony. I mean, it's just absolutely beautiful.
Well, until I saw this documentary, I didn't realize that Buddhists or Tibetan Buddhists were into that sort of thing. You know, they come, they do their San Mandela. You think, oh, how nice, how pretty. you know, I like the prayer aspect, and they come and do house blessings and things like that. And how sweet, right? And then I saw this and I was like, oh, you know, I think it would be really neat to explore that side of it, since it does relate with the spirit contact and the healing that Lilydale and spiritualism does embrace. And still on a different level, though, because, you know, as mental mediums,
mm-hmm.
we're more in a light trance and
a semi-trance
sort of thing. But it's really a fascinating thing. Now, we should finish up the Sam Mandela and then talk about the sacred dance, too.
Okay. One last thing about the sound.
Yes. Oh, the sound.
Back in Tibet,
yes,
they would have their people chant and pray, and they would be able to have the rocks and move rocks.
Oh.
So here in spiritualism, you know, we have trumpets and everything.
But are you saying they levitate rocks?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh.
I know. It's just really, it's just so awesome. And to know that we welcome each other is also awesome. So.
Oh, you know, I see a couple callers. We'll take a couple callers, and then we'll tell them the rest of the ceremonies, because time's going by so fast.
I know. We love it.
It's so much fun. Okay. So I'm going to take caller ending in 6979. Again, caller ending in 6979. Hello. What's your name, and where are you calling from?
Hi, this is Donna, and I'm from California.
Hi, thank you for calling in today. Have you had an experience with Tibetan Buddhism?
No.
And those ceremonies, that's our topic today. I didn't know if you have a question about.
I didn't know if you were giving mini readings. I'm sorry.
No, we're not doing readings today. This is more of a topic show.
Okay. Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Have a good day. So, yes, we're not doing readings today. And if anyone wants to call in about our topic today, which is Tibetan Buddhism, ceremonies and healing, you can call in. The number is 818-739-8818. Again, 818-739-8818. And, you know, we'd love to have you call in and share if you've had an experience here in Lilydale with the monks or another place, too.
Exactly.
Your positive questions, comments are very welcome. But we should tell them the rest of it. So they go down to the water with the sand mandala after they deconstruct it, right?
Right.
And they go down to Casadega Lake here in Lilydale.
And, you know, a part of the sand, by the way, all of you who are coming to the closing ceremony, you get a packet of this sand.
To take home.
You know, you can put on your altar. You can share the memory of it. And, you know, some people, they keep it, you know, packets in their car for protection, things like that. But it is such it holds the vibration.
Right, prayers.
Exactly.
Can go into something, the thoughts.
Exactly. So in the closing ceremony, they have it. The rest of the sand is put in a special vessel, taken down to the lake so that the prayers and everything can go through the water system
mm-hmm.
to create healing and throughout the planet.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just about ourselves. It's about the earth itself and the planet itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and many special prayers are going out continually.
Continually, definitely.
Yes.
And I think in most religions, you could say that's the case, that people are sending out prayers. And especially in spiritualism, we tend to have healing lists. I know when we've had other shows about healing, we talk about prayer lists and the importance of prayer. In fact, Judith Rochester was on, and we talked about prayer exclusively. And that was really neat, too.
You know, this is also a joyous time.
Yeah.
You know, taking the sand down and the horns and the banging. Mm. But it is about the joy, not that we know that it is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like we know that it is going to happen based on our connectedness with all there is.
Well, it seems like they do, at least from what I was watching in the documentary, they do a lot of festival or that kind of excitement of ceremony, and they have masks, and they have all kinds of really colorful robes and costumes that they put on for the different ceremonies that go on in that location.
And we're very blessed because this year we have the dance that's going to happen in the auditorium. To me, this is a really big blessing. And if you're listening, the tickets are $15. Get them in advance. Come, bring the kids. It is wonderful. It's a show that everybody can go to that they walk out, and it's joyful and uplifting, you know, and it illuminates our consciousness that we are larger than just ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
We get to see this Tibetan Buddhist culture.
The cultural significance of that.
You know, and sometimes when we just get stuck in one part of our country or one part of our house or something, it's like being able to take a voyage to another country to understand another thing and to find out how much they are like us and how they have the same type of understanding of emotions and feelings and things of that
yes,
nature.
Yes, they eat food when they come here and they play basketball.
They surely do. And they have a wonderful time. But their joyousness is what, you know, they are just absolutely so joyous, like when they pet one of our cats here or they're holding one of the babies.
They
really, truly, you can see from the depth of their energy how grateful they are. And, you know, I know that as moms we serve dinner to our family, but to see these people being so grateful for their food.
Now, I have to say this because I thought it was a really funny story. I think one of the first years that they came to Lily Dell, you know, there was an assumption that all the Tibetan Buddhist monks were vegetarian. And they were saying, where's the bacon?
Well, they do eat.
So some of them do eat meat.
Yeah, and His Holiness does too. His Holiness does too.
Yeah.
But in order for us to keep things flowing well,
mm-hmm.
we go with primarily vegetarian menu.
Okay.
Because they don't really eat chicken. This group doesn't eat chicken.
This particular group that's coming.
And doesn't
eat
fish.
You probably know some dietary requirements in advance with
and, that. And one of the issues is when they came from Tibet, they had a hard time assimilating to our food structure.
Oh, yeah, I can imagine.
Yeah. They really liked the Hostess Twinkies, unfortunately. Yes, I know, and Coca-Cola, and all the sweets, but I've sort of helped them restrict their intake because, unfortunately, diabetes is a big problem.
Oh, for that particular group.
Yes.
Wow, yeah.
Well, in India in general, because in Tibet, they didn't have those things, and so when you move them, and India has a more Western flavor with Coca-Cola and all these other things that are accessible, the sugar levels have had an effect on them. And they're not in a country with their necessarily the high altitudes and walking and things like this. Dr. Neil took them into a sweat lodge one time, and the Rinpoche there was like, not going to do this. This is way too warm because they're used to that.
Used to different.
That temperature.
And Neil Zipkowski was my guest 2 weeks ago. We talked about sweat lodges in particular.
Yes.
And it does get very hot in there. So,
yes, absolutely.
And so if you're not used to it.
If you're not used to it. I mean, they experienced it, but the one elder Rinpoche, he after a while said, I kindly leave you.
When the door is open.
Exactly,
the door is open, he probably departed nicely.
But having them here, and as they're, because, yes, come for the ceremonies. You know, there's the opening, the closing, and most certainly, I think one of the deals of the deal is getting to be able to go to that dance for $15.
Oh,
it
yeah.
is
that,
awesome.
I'm amazed that it is the price for that. And
so, well, you have to buy your tickets online.
Online only.
Get them, yeah, get them first, you know, because this isn't like you can show up at the door
mm-hmm.
and get that. But, and, you know, we're always looking for how we can make our guests more comfortable.
Sure.
And this gives everybody an easy access to be able to see the monks, talk to some of them, get to understand their culture, and be able to be present in something that we don't necessarily have in our day-to-day life.
That's very true. And so anybody who's looking for the dates online at the LilydaleAssembly.org website, you're going to be looking for Saturday, June 30th is the opening ceremony of the fan painting. And then that evening is the sacred dance for
mm-hmm.
world healing that they'll perform. And then the closing ceremony is Tuesday, July 3rd. So you can take a look at those online with things. I know time's gone so fast. I want to mention, if anybody's wanting to find Patricia Bell online, you can go to patriciabell.net. And some of the other exciting things that you do in the summer, one of the things, as we did briefly mention at the beginning of today's show, you do a lot for Lilydale by doing the Children's Week.
Well, that's the second most joyous time in Lilydale for me. You know, my first joyous time is being able to be with these fabulous monks. But the second joyous time is to be able to be with these children.
Yeah.
They touch our hearts.
Yes.
And they have that connection to God. And they come through here. And whether you see them at the healing temple, I mean, doing hands-on healing at people when they're 8 years old,
mm-hmm.
or just them running around Lilydale laughing and bringing this joy. And Willie, you know how much fun our beach party is.
Yes.
You know, we all love the beach party, and our fire department is so great that
they are great.
They do a whole water thing for the kids, and we have been very blessed to have teachers who come from all over the world. This year we have Barry Goldstein, who won a Grammy,
oh.
and he had taught here before. And so this is, we're going 14 years of the children's program, and I have what I call the alumnati, and they are...
the alumni.
Yeah, exactly, coming back, and they want to bury a time capsule so that when their children come to Lilydale in 20 years, they can see what they did.
Isn't
that awesome?
It is awesome. So for those of you who are interested in the Children's Week, it's running from Sunday, July 22nd to Friday, July 27th. And there are all kinds of different events for the children to take part in. And I think it's really great that you arranged that. I think it's really wonderful. I do want to mention, you don't have any other workshops coming up this summer, do you?
Yes, I do. I have a workshop. It's called The Heart Speaks.
Okay.
And that's going to be on July 7th. And I have a workshop on teaching intuitive children.
Okay.
You see, because sometimes what we don't realize is, like, if you're not brought up within this sort of structure, that we have children that are talking to spirit, and that parents need to be aware of how they can handle it and work with children.
I'm five. Yes, it's wonderful if you can foster, not force, of course, but foster the spiritual development of your children and make that nice and natural. You don't have to put them through their hoops and say, oh, you've been talking to Grandpa? I want to know this, that, and the other. You just let them talk.
Well, most of all, nobody has to be scared.
Yes, they don't have to be scared.
They learn that this is something that's a part of them and that...
I know my older son really likes the spiritual healing when they would do some of the Lyceum program, and Timus is doing that, so we'll try to get him into some of it as well. Now, next week, the show for Wednesdays with Willa, June 13th, my guest will be Lisa Williams, and we will be covering the 2018 summer season highlights in the program and talking more specifically about that. So Lisa Williams is the Vice President of Lilydale at this time, and she also did a lot with the organizing of the workshop program this year. And so she'll be well-versed in who's coming when and explain it all to you folks, and that'll be a good show. And then June 27th, I'll have Tom Kratzley on. We'll be talking about spiritism versus spiritualism because the spiritists are coming this year. Well, thank you, everyone, for tuning in today. Really appreciate you listening, and we certainly appreciate you coming on the show today, Patricia.
Well, thank you, Willa. It's always a pleasure to spend time with you and everybody else and say how joyous it is to be here in Lilydale.
It is joyous. It is a little chilly today. It's a little fall-like. It kind of got into the 50s today, but it'll warm up for the summer season. Don't you worry.
Exactly. Exactly.
Thanks again for being on the show, Patricia. It's really, really wonderful that you could share about Buddhism with us today.
Well, it's a wonderful learning experience.
Yes. All right. Thank you, everyone. Have a wonderful day. Bye-bye.
Bye.